This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Downgrading the airlines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I think we've already surmised this, but the airlines are officially in dangerous financial territory. So says the Standard & Poor's rating service. S&P has put 9 airlines on its credit watch list. This doesn't mean their debt ratings are being downgraded yet, but they are in a very precarious position with fuel costs. All the major carriers are on the list: American, United, Delta, U.S. Airways, even Southwest. The signs are pointing to a lower opening for Wall Street. The Dow has already lost more than 400 points this week. In Asia today, stocks finished about 1% lower. European shares are down 0.5% so far. The Dow did add 24 points yesterday to 12,625. The NASDAQ was up 16, and the S&P 500 gained 3 points. Oil is trading at $132 a barrel this morning. Yesterday, we talked about a study of the world's most important oil fields. It said those fields are aging and need much more investment, or the world faces a severe supply shortage. Today, we asked the question, why aren't those fields getting enough investment? Joining us is Carola Hoyas, who covers the oil industry for the Financial Times. Carola, what's your impression?
I guess there are two answers. One is that countries such as Venezuela are using their riches to pay for social programs and to keep the government in power. Mm-hmm. That's also happening in Mexico. And there you're seeing production at oil fields drop quite substantially. But there are also other reasons. Qatar, for example, which is a natural gas country but also has oil and is a member of OPEC, as well as Saudi Arabia, the biggest exporter in the world, are slowing down their investment. Both of them are saying, we've got enough money. You know, at $135 of oil, a country like Qatar that really only has fewer than 500,000 true Qataris doesn't know what to do with its riches.
Now, where do the oil companies fit in this equation with the oil fields?
The international oil companies, as the price has gone up, have been more and more squeezed out of the main oil reserve regions of the world. As prices have gone up, countries have said, we want a bigger share of the profit. And you've seen that pretty much everywhere around the world.
What do you make of the threat by some in Congress here to sue OPEC?
I hesitate to say this, but I agree with the White House on this one. Why on earth would you want to bite the hand that feeds you? Yes, you don't like the idea that they're a cartel, but I mean, look at the facts. They're the ones that control the oil. And this political instability, however it is caused, whether it is by an international war or internally, generally leads to a reduction in supplies. And the same thing works when you're suing countries. You really have to be way more pragmatic. And I do think that this, again, is a political thing rather than a really thoughtful philosophy.
Carola Hoyas of the Financial Times, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Remember the pet food scare last year? A lot of pet owners were upset with the companies that made the food, and they filed lawsuits. Now there's been a settlement. The Canadian company Menu Foods and a few others have agreed to pay $24 million to pet owners, specifically to people who had to spend money to treat their pets.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by Clarks and Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat. Available now.
I have a joke for you. One Sunday, a pastor told his congregation the church needed extra money. He said whoever gives the most can pick out 3 hymns. He passed the plate and announced that the winner gave $1,000. Come on up, he said. So a very quiet elderly woman slowly made her way to the front of the church. The pastor said, "Thank you so much. Choose your hymns." Her eyes brightened, and she pointed to three of the best-looking men in the congregation and said, "I'll take him, him, and him." I didn't say it was a good joke, but my point in telling you this is that members of the clergy have to deal with a lot of things, and one of them is money. Some universities have started offering MBA-type programs specifically for church leaders. Jill Barchet has more.
Monsignor Marucci is a pastor of a Catholic church in Haddon Township, New Jersey.
"I know that the people in my pews want me to be an excellent steward of their resources."
Marucci is enrolled in a new master's degree in church management at Villanova University. Charles Zeck runs the program, which launched this week. He says it's like an MBA, but tailored to nonprofit churches. There'll be classes in accounting, organizational behavior, even marketing.
"We don't call it that. That's not a good word. It's evangelization."
Zeck says many parishes have millions of dollars flowing through them.
"It really is a small business, and so that's part of the problem, that the priests who are in charge don't have the training, nor necessarily the inclination to do the business side."
But conservatives in the church say for priests, an MBA is a waste of time and money. Father Jerry Pokorsky was a financial auditor before entering the priesthood. He helps dioceses around the country with their finances. He says focusing on the business end of the church can be a distraction.
"It's very easy to start neglecting your duties as a pastor, a pastor of souls. So it's far better to be able to understand the general picture, some of the critical issues involved, and to delegate those to the laity."
Pokorsky says churches should focus on basic controls, like reconciling bank statements each month. He says you don't even need a CPA for that, never mind an MBA. Even so, priests and church managers are flocking to Villanova from as far away as Ireland. The program costs $23,400. That's about what most priests make in a year. For Monsignor Marucci, Villanova is doing the brotherly thing and giving him a discount. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.